So last week, if you came, we were in Mark chapter 2. We've just kind of been going verse by verse through Mark. And we learned about how Jesus wanted us to have a relationship, not just a religion. He talked about a relationship. Religion demands certain things at certain times, and if you don't do it, then you're out of the loop and there's something wrong with you. And so it turns into legalism, and that's what it turned into for the Pharisees and for the scribes. And they wanted to know, why don't your disciples fast when they're supposed to and do this when they're supposed to? And they were all things that weren't just necessarily laws that were written in the Scripture. And it was things that they had added to it and things that they had brought out of the old covenant. And there were certain parts of the old covenant that was going to be fulfilled. And he told them, he said, you can't put new wine into old wineskins. If you do, wineskins going to bust and you're going to lose everything. And we as Baptists, that whole story always makes us nervous because it's talking about wine. But you get the idea, right? This stuff swells whenever it starts to ferment. And whenever it swells, if you put it into an old package, it's going to break the package. That's what happens if you try to make the Old Testament fit into a New Testament concept. The Old Testament was there to lead us to Jesus. The Old Testament was there to show us our need for Jesus even now. The laws are true and right about morality, and they show us how bad we all need salvation. Amen? But salvation isn't found in just fasting at the right time or washing our hands the right way or whatever you might want to fill in that blank. Salvation is found through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Do I get an amen? And so he also talked about, you know, the clothing and the unshrunk patch on an old garment. When that patch tries to shrink, it's going to tear away. Same thing. And then Sunday night, we were in the latter part of that chapter, and I was talking about Sabbath. And Jesus made a proclamation. He made a proclamation that Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. And so he said in the last verse of chapter 2, verse 28, therefore the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. And that's where we're going to pick it up this week. Just thinking about that. What does that mean, Lord of the Sabbath? He's in control. He's the boss. He's the one that makes the rules. Nobody tells him what it means. He tells us what it means. And I can tell you, I lived a life without a Sabbath for a long time, without ever taking a day of rest. And it's a bad place to put yourself in. You see, God wanted us to experience rest. And let me go one step forward. He wants us to experience rest in Christ. You see, ultimately, Jesus is the Sabbath. He's Lord of the Sabbath. He is the Sabbath, and He is our Sabbath rest. Talks about that later on in Hebrews a lot, that Jesus is the better Sabbath. He's the one that we're looking for. He's the one that whenever He said, this is the blood of the new covenant, as He represented it in a cup of wine at the Last Supper, He was saying that the new covenant made the old covenant obsolete. He was showing us what it all was pointing forward to in the first place. And so He is that Sabbath. He is that Lord of rest. And we need to practice that principle of finding a day of rest as well. But it shouldn't be a legalistic thing. It shouldn't be something like, I have to do this because this is the law and this is what's going to make me happy. Have you ever noticed legalistic people are never happy? I've been around them, you know. Whenever they're following the laws, then they look around to see who's not. And they're unhappy because other people aren't following the laws. And I've known people that have tried to force themselves into these kind of molds and things of that nature. And then they'll try to tell me, man, you need to do this too. And I think, dude, I don't want to end up like you. Because you don't look very peaceful. I can tell you, one of the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of peace. And when you're following Jesus and you're in the Spirit, I'm going to tell you something He's going to give you. He's going to give you peace. I had those chains on me long enough. I love that song that we sang today. My chains are gone. I've been set free. And I tell you, since I've been set free, I don't want those shackles put back on me. Guys, I do. I try to practice a day of rest. But it ain't because it's a law and I have to. It's because I want to. And it helps me set time aside that on the Lord's day, I spend time with Jesus. I generally don't try to plan anything else other than just being here at church. And I can tell you, this is my greatest joy to come up and be an expositor of the Word of God before you. This is my joy. This is what I live for. This is what makes me enjoy living. Because this is where I fellowship with God in a really special way. But I can tell you, the Lord's Day is set apart for God in our house. And we really try to practice that. Not as a law. We don't stone anybody if they do some little thing of work. No, as a joy. As a joy and as a principle. So here we are, and we're coming to the Lord of the Sabbath today, and we're going to learn from Him from chapter 3. Because I just tell you, Jesus kept hitting the same thing. He kept pounding the same thing. You know what? He kept going before the Pharisees and before all those religious leaders, and He just kept healing people on the Sabbath. If you look throughout the Gospels, you see multiple times that He heals people on the Sabbath. And it brought the same response out of them every time. So let's see what happens here in Mark chapter 3. And verse 1, and He entered the synagogue again. I like that. Again. He just kept doing it. They kept getting mad, but He just kept doing it. Do you think He was doing it just to make them mad? No. He was doing it because they needed to know the truth. They had turned a relationship with God into a religion and into a list of laws that were binding people instead of the relationship God wanted it to be. And so He entered that synagogue again. And He did it the entire 3 years that He did ministry. He just kept going back. And I'll tell you what, they wanted to kill Him more than once. He didn't let that stop Him. Because He knew His life was hidden with His Father, and He would not die one moment before it was His time. Guys, we can live like that too. There's a world that says, quit preaching that truth. You keep that in the church. You keep that silent. And I say, I can't. I must be a bearer of the truth. How can I know this great truth and not share it with other people? That's what Jesus did. He entered the synagogue again. And guess what? And a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched Him closely whether He would heal on the Sabbath so that they might accuse Him. Oh. Guys, you know what? God does miracles around us every day, all the time. They're happening. And you know what? How we view those depends a whole lot on where our heart is with God. And so, there's a lot of people out there that are asking questions. These guys, they were asking a question, weren't they? They were sitting here and they were saying, well, there's Jesus, it's the Sabbath, He's in the synagogue, we're here watching, here's a sick person, I wonder if He's going to heal him. Now, here's the thing. They didn't say, I wonder if He can heal him. They had already figured that one out. He can. They weren't wondering if He had the power to heal him. They didn't really want to know, is He really God? All they wanted to know is He going to break our law right now? Is He going to break this rule? I'm going to tell you, our world's just kind of turning more and more into that right now. I don't know if you guys have noticed. There's way too many rules for me to keep up with these days. 6 foot distance. There for a while, people were afraid to look at you in the store because they was afraid they was going to get sick if they looked at you. Did you ever notice? There for a while, you know, whenever we were really scared and we were really frightened by all this stuff, and you'd go into Walmart and you'd walk past people and they go, it's like, I was still smiling. I was still saying hi. I was still, you know, I was still trying to greet people, but in the love of Christ. Because here's the thing, guys. All these rules and all these regulations, all this stuff, is just trying to squelch out the glory of God. And that's what the Pharisees had turned this, that was an original command by the old covenant. that you should remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. You should do no work on the Sabbath. This is all true. This is 100% true. But really, did that mean don't help anybody? And you see, Jesus came to show us the spirit of the law. And so when this man with this withered hand was there before Jesus, and he knew that they were watching, and they were asking this question, one thing I want you to always remember, there's some ask questions because they want to know the truth, but there's some that are asking questions just because they want to scoff. So don't be thrown off course. If somebody asks you a question, you start to answer them, and they start scoffing right off the bat or start getting angry at you. Some people are asking questions because they actually want to attack. But you know what we need to do either way? We just need to live for the glory of God. Because I think we can learn something from Jesus in this next, in what his response to the whole situation is. I think this should be our response as well. So he knew what they were thinking. He knew that they were watching. He knew that this man needed to be healed. And in verse 3, he said to the man who had the withered hand, step forward. I like that part. Next one, next slide. And see, here's the thing, guys. Jesus is going to do what Jesus always does. Jesus is going to do good because his heart is good. He's good all the time. And he had a plan, and his plan was to bring glory to his Father by this healing. And so he was going to do it. Do you ever notice that the same sun that shines, if you set like a stick of butter out in the sun, what's going to happen to it? It just melts. It softens it. You know, a lot of people try to spread cold butter on a piece of bread, you know. It just don't work, does it? So you need a little bit of that warmth to soften it up, to make it pliable so that it becomes, so yummy. It pleases me. You guys like butter too? I like butter. I ain't buying that margarine stuff, man. I'm not buying into that. I like butter. Butter's good. And so that same sun that'll soften that butter, you know what it'll do to a lump of clay if you set it out there? Oh my goodness. Yeah. You know, we decided to plant some strawberries again this year. Have you guys ever heard of our strawberry saga before? This is a big, long story, and I'm going to shorten it up for you. We took this hillside, and it was all clay. And the place where we live was always nicknamed Strawberry Hill because strawberry plants love it up there. You know? So I thought, hey, this couldn't get any better. I got this place over here that's kind of bare. We'll plant some strawberries on it because strawberries love our piece of land. Well, what do you put around strawberries? You put straw. Well, the day that I planted the strawberries, and man, I worked till late that night beating on this tough clay, and that it was sun-baked, and I beat that stuff to death and finally got these things planted, and then I put the straw around it, and the straw had weeds terrible in it, and I didn't know it. And so all I did was sow my sun-baked clay with weeds. You know, weeds grow okay in sun-baked clay. I found that out. Strawberries don't. So for about the next 3 or 4 or 5 years, we have been fighting these weeds and fighting these weeds and fighting these weeds. That same sun that softens one heart, you know, the grace of God, softened my heart. If somebody's already really hard-hearted like clay, and they won't really consider Jesus for who he is, that same grace causes their heart to harden. It's weird how that happens. Now, it's a reversible thing. I praise God for that. All they've got to do is allow their heart to be cultivated some and to ask the question for the right reason. Those same people that ask the question for the right reason because they really want to know the truth, all of a sudden that same grace will soften their heart. But I'm not just talking about us witnessing to other people today. I'm talking about us in this room. When we go to the Word of God, are we asking the questions because we really want to have answers so that our heart will be changed? You see, if that's how you go to the Word of God, that sun, that warmth of God's grace will help soften your heart to where it will penetrate, convict. We may even have to repent. Have you ever had that come to Jesus moment and you didn't expect it? You just sat down to read God's Word one morning and it went, whoa. Man, was that ever personal. Guys, we got a choice to make at that point. If I harden my heart at that point, that sun will just harden it further. But if I soften my heart at that point and I submit to God, I can tell you, it will help soften my heart and give me that heart of flesh that I need. But here's my point on this. I know I've taken a little while to get to it. Here's my point. This is what I want you to take home with you. God ain't going to change for you. You see, Jesus wasn't going to change just because those Pharisees were standing there judging Him that day. Jesus was going to do what Jesus is going to do, and He's going to do good, and He's going to do it even if they're asking with wrong motives. And so let's watch what happens next. He knows they're watching. He knows they're looking. He knows that they're judging Him right now. He knows they're trying to trap Him. And He says to the man with the withered hand, step forward. Verse 4, then He said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill? But they kept silent. You know what He's asking? Do you want a relationship or do you want to continue in religion? Because He knew their hearts, and He knew that if He healed that man, they were going to want to kill Him. He was revealing to them their own heart in that question. Because that really seems weird. It was like, okay, so is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or do evil, to save life or to kill? I mean, obviously He didn't have a plan on killing the guy with the withered hand, right? So what in the world is He talking about? He's saying, guys, I got a choice here. I can help this guy, and now you got a choice. You can decide, do you want to follow me, or are you going to want to kill me for it? And I'm just going to tell you, Jesus won't stay neutral in your life. You're either going to have to follow Him, or you're going to end up hating Him. Because He ain't going to change for me, and He's not going to change for you. He is who He is. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. And so as we watch, what does He do next? Well, first he speaks to them. He asks them a question. And I can tell you, silence is an answer to that question. You may think, well, I just won't say anything, and I'll just kind of hide from God for a little while, and He'll wind up leaving me alone. Nope. You're going to face Him someday, and silence is an answer. In fact, if you do nothing, that's an answer. Doing nothing when God calls you to do something is a no to God, and we need to say yes. So it's the only right answer. In verse 5, and when he had looked around at them with anger. Guys, this made Jesus mad. The hardness of their heart angered Him. Why? Because they were the religious people. Next slide. You know why it made Him mad? Jesus hates legalism. Legalism and religion kills people. When He looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, He said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. And I'm just going to say it. Immediately, we do not see any delay in the power of God to heal this man. It didn't matter that it happened on the Sabbath. It didn't matter if it happened in front of a bunch of unbelieving people. I just want you to know, Jesus does what He always does. Whenever somebody calls out to Him for salvation, He can save them instantly. He can heal them instantly. Now, the grace has been shown through this act of love, and love always triumphs the law and legalism and trying to earn salvation through the acts of law. But I can tell you, when the grace has been shown to people who are refusing to believe God, it has a strange effect on them. Look at this next verse. Then the Pharisees went out immediately, plotted with the Herodians against Him how they might destroy Him. Next slide. hate. I want you to hear this one. This was a show of hatred. Hatred is against God. Whenever we hate, it hurts God. Do I get an amen? If we hate anybody, it hurts God. If we got hatred in our heart, it ultimately winds up being against God. Hate unites anyone and everyone in rebellion with Jesus. Have you noticed in our United States and in our world right now, there's all these groups that are uniting together? People that generally pretty much hated one another at other times, all of a sudden, because of their hatred for another and for the movement of the church or anything, all of a sudden, their hate toward us has trumped any of the hate that they had toward one another. Now they're joining forces. And it kind of freaks us out in the church because we have a hard time having unity at all. You know? Not so much just this local body. I mean, we're pretty unified here, but, you know, we have our times whenever we kind of get out of sorts with one another and we see people come and go. And I'm preaching to a different church now than I did 5-6 years ago. Some of you are the same, but a lot of the faces have changed. Why is that? Because somebody got offended about this or that. And they didn't do what Jesus said in Matthew 11. They didn't get it settled with the person and they went on. Okay? Guys, I'm just going to tell you. We need to unite better than what the bad guys do. We need to get united in the body of Christ. For some reason, we have a hard time doing it. But we can see the bad guys do it. And I'm just using that as kind of a figure of speech, bad guys. I mean, we're all bad guys, actually. Jesus is the only one that's good. But like the enemies of God unite together against the Lord and against His anointed. And I'm just going to say, I'm just going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say the reason why we've got all these people that are uniting together against what is good is because they're mad. They're mad that some good things have been happening for the last 3 or 4 years in America. They're angry. They're angry because they started seeing advances against abortion and to start saving more babies' lives. Were you all guys happy whenever we saw some pro-life stuff happening? See, we were celebrating here in church, and we were all excited about it. Well, guess what? The enemy and the forces of evil were gnashing their teeth, and now they're showing their teeth. But here's the cool part about it. We don't need to get all fixated and worried about that. What we need to do is unite together as the church to come together and get on our knees and pray and see the enemy destroy himself. Now, I'm not talking about the people there. I'm talking about the spiritual enemy that's behind the people. Guys, it's time for us to wake up and understand that we can expect for the forces of evil to be against us. Jesus said, they hated me, they're going to hate you too. Don't be surprised whenever people come after you. And remember that if we allow hatred to get started in our heart, if we're not careful, it'll unite us against Jesus too. We just can't do it. Look at what the Pharisees did. The Pharisees went out and they immediately plotted with the Herodians. Does anybody understand these two groups? The Pharisees were the religious authority who were like the example of holiness. They were the holiness group. And they would stand up in front of everybody and they had their own extra 600 laws to go with the 613 that were already in the Bible. And they said, look, this is what you look like if you're holy. You look like me. And if you don't look like me, it means that you're not holy, so you need to look like me. They hated the Herodians. The Herodians were another political faction that was there following Herod. They were mortal enemies. And guess what they did? As soon as they started hating Jesus, they actually made friends with the Herodians so that they could work together to try to destroy Jesus. That's what's happening in the world today. Psalm 2 predicted it, said that the kings of the earth will join together against the Lord and against His anointed. They're going to join all their forces, and as we get closer to the final day, the day of judgment, I can tell you the forces are going to keep coming together, but they're not going to win. So we just need to make sure we keep our heart free from hate Guys, no matter what you're seeing on the news out there, no matter what you're seeing about what's happening in our country, even if you don't watch the news, you're probably hearing something, right? Like, rioting? Have you heard anything about rioting? Have you heard anything about trying to burn down cities? Have you heard anything? I got in trouble not too long ago just for mentioning these things. We want to feel good when we come to church. Guys, I want you to feel closer to God whenever you come to church. I want you to know what's going on and how to apply the truth, okay? These things are for real and are happening in our day, and we shouldn't fear them, but what we should do is we should unite as the body of Christ against these things because we serve the living God who is on His throne. Just like when they started to hate Jesus, the bad guys plotted together here and how they could destroy Him. That's exactly what's happening in this day and age. And I'm going to say something that may not make you feel good, but I'm telling you, they're coming for us next. And so everybody says, man, what are you trying to do, preacher? Are you trying to make me feel bad? I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm trying to be realistic. Get close to Jesus now. Because here's the thing, He's going to be our only shelter. If you're firm in Christ, whenever they come for you, you'll stand. If you're not, you're going to be tossed. So we need to get firm in Christ now. What does that look like? Well, for one thing, it looks like we need to learn to pray together. We got a prayer chain, and we have prayers go through it. And that's one way we can do it. Another way is, when there's opportunities to come together for prayer and meetings and things of that nature. Another way is just calling somebody in the church and saying, man, I need to pray with you. And actually staying on the line and praying together. Going to their house. Having a prayer service at the house. Having meetings just for the specific purpose of prayer. Do you realize our world needs us to pray for them? They probably wouldn't be happy to hear that we're doing it either. I've had people say, don't you pray for me? And I say, well, yeah, just stop me. You can't. You can't stop me. I'm going to do it anyways. I don't say that to them, but that's what I'm thinking in my mind. And you know what? I had people praying for me. That's why I'm saved today. Because they wouldn't stop it. Praise God they didn't stop it. Let's unite better than the bad guys. Let's defeat this evil through the power of Jesus' name for now. Yeah, judgment day is eventually coming. Jesus is definitely coming back, and I look forward to the day. But I pray for a little more time for people to be saved. Amen. Do y'all know somebody you love that don't know Jesus? Just think, if Jesus came back today, they'd be out. So for their sake, for the sake of this lost world that's so confused, let's keep praying for a little more time. Let's unite under Jesus. Let's make sure that we're not joining hands with those who are united against Him. Guys, Jesus is going to do what He always does. He's going to show grace. Right up until that time, He rides in on a white horse. Grace is over then, brothers, sisters. That's the time for judgment. We need to make sure that we're ready and make sure that we care enough about our loved one and our neighbor to try to help them get ready. We can't force them. We can sure witness to them. We can sure pray for them. So let's do it. Let's be committed to that in these days. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank You that whenever Jesus came, He walked among us. He didn't worry about what people thought of Him. He just did what was right. And we know that He did it perfectly because He was the only one approved to be the sacrifice for our sin. He had to take the perfect sacrifice. And Jesus was it. He's the only one. We look in Revelation and we start getting into chapter 4 and 5 and we see that entire heaven was searched for one who was worthy to open the scroll with the seven seals on it. And there was no one except the Lamb who had been slain. Jesus is the only one who's worthy. So as we gather under You as our head, as our Lord, we come under the blood of Christ, we find your grace. We find your righteousness to cover us. And Lord, then you begin to transform us. There's so many people that haven't found that yet. We see people that are literally just panicking and rioting in the streets over things that they don't even understand. Lord, they've been fed lies, and there's a satanic movement behind them that's causing them to destroy not only everyone else but themselves as well. This whole Black Lives Matter thing is so sad, because the Black Lives Matter people have killed, 97% of the people that they've killed have been black. If they really think that Black Lives Matter, why are they killing their own ethnicity? All lives matter. Their lives, my life, and the lives of our brothers and sisters here, and the lives of people all over this world, and it don't matter what pigment our skin is. We all matter. We all matter to you. God, let them all matter to us. Let us not judge them. Let